Praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We're going to start a brand new series as we're studying in the Scriptures on how the snake, that is Satan, got into the house of Israel. Now, we've taught on this on other occasions in different manners, but we're going to bring it anew in a series so that you can order it on a five-part cassette series so that you can listen and come up to speed on just exactly how that we believe that the blood of the serpent, Satan, was infused into, directly into the sons of Abraham. We're going to discuss this over the next 5 hours in depth. We're going to turn every stone hidden over. As far as we know, we're the only ones that is preaching this revelation because its content is controversial. We preach it not to be controversial, but for the saving, salvational power of Jacob Israel. The Bible says that we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And we believe tonight is the most important of all of the messages that could be preached. Right here begins the great mystery of Genesis 3:15. Now, we have a lot to say about Genesis 3:15 when we get into a later series on trailing the serpent. We will bring that into the text for you on another five-part cassette series that will give you information and bring you through the Scriptures as we let the Scriptures do the talking, as we do the walking through the Scriptures. You stay with us tonight. We're glad to have you aboard. You're listening to Pastor Buddy. This is the Shepherd's Call, and we're live and direct tonight. This is Monday, the 18th of March in the year 2002, so we're moving right along on the process of time. We believe that these messages that we are sharing with you are life-saving. Now, if you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge and saved by it, then the Bible says the time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves, or be lovers of their own selves, if you will. And we've got a lot of that error that is coming around in Jacob Israel. Men that love themselves or prefer themselves over their brothers. The Bible said we should prefer others over ourselves and have the love of charity shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, preferring one another and being kind and being gentle, meek, and being long-suffering in relationship to each other in Jacob Israel. Now, we believe that the snake has got into the house and he has put his crafty things into the genetic mixture of Abraham. It's not everything that says Yahweh, Yahweh, or Lord, Lord, that is genetically pure. So then how do we try the sheep? How do we try the goats? We give them the word test. The Bible said try the spirits. How do we try the spirits? By the word. Now we're going to go into Genesis chapter 17. We're going to start our message tonight, and I would like to particularly leave with you tonight the covenant principles, and then we'll establish tomorrow night how that after the covenant establishment, Satan finding that Abraham would be chosen, that in him would all of the seed of Yahweh be blessed in the earth. And so then, Satan, being as crafty as he is, went to work immediately. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to reiterate time after time in this series that genetics is the key. genetics being bred either pure or impure. You either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree evil and the fruit evil. Let us begin to read in verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and none, Yahweh appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, we're not talking about Abraham being perfect in the flesh. Abraham was just a normal flesh man like you and I are. He actually lied to the king when he went into Egypt. He told the king that Sarah was his sister, when in fact she was his wife, and it was not a complete lie. It was sort of a little white lie, as we like to call it. Nevertheless, it was not the truth. And Yahweh had to intervene on Abraham's part to keep from this evil king, Abimelech, from taking Sarah as a wife, because Sarah was a beautiful woman to behold. Praise Yahweh. So then, Abraham was not to walk perfect in his flesh. There's none good and there's none perfect. Now, who is perfect? It is the divine covenant that Yahweh swore unto himself, and therefore he can't lie. Once he gives you the covenant, and you are assigned the covenant by grace. For it is by grace that you are saved, and that not of yourself. There's nothing good that you'll ever do to obtain the resurrection to give you the right to accuse your brethren, because when you accuse your brethren, you get into Satan's territory, where you sit in Satan's seat, and you have a problem. And this is what Satan is doing here with the seed of Abraham. Once he identified where the covenant was going, then he started to lay his attack process or procedures out in direct line against the seed of Abraham. And ladies and gentlemen, after 2,520 years of continuous battle with the sons of darkness, I'm here to tell you tonight that the battle is not over. The battle is rolling. The battle is waxing hot, and it is a battle of genetics. I want you to look at America. We got through with our series 2 weeks ago on the immigrants that are flooding in, the strangers. The scriptures that we brought was on the word stranger. How that they have come into America in the last 40 years as the floodgates have been opened to the stranger. It just so happens that we are surrounded by strangers. They come from near and they come from far, because this is the land of milk and honey, and they will imagine in their mind and say, come, let us take a spoil and go up to the unwalled villages where that we can dwell among them. Well, we gave you the covenant principles of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. Frightening in as much as Yahweh himself will bring about, after that Israel has went a-whoring, after that Israel has went astray, and after Israel has divided and can't come together, then Satan will be invited in by Yahweh. He said, this is Yahweh doing the speaking, I will sow the house of Israel with the seed of man. Now that is mankind, not Adam kind or Israel kind. The chosen ones, the covenant. And Abram was 99 years old. I am Almighty Yahweh, he said unto him, walk before me, and I will make a covenant between me and you, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. Isn't that powerful? Yahweh talking to Abraham. And remember what the son said in the book of John. They said, you're not yet 50 years old, and do you know Abraham? And Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And so, we have this revelation that Yahweh hand-picked personally Abraham to come out from among his own. Now, if you've been hand-picked by Yahweh, you will have to come out from your own. The foes of your house will be those your enemy. And ladies and gentlemen, two-thirds of Jacob Israel in the house of Israel are enemies to the cause of the one-third. I was talking to a brother today about that very scripture, and he set my mind to thinking about the one-third. When you reduce the one-third to be refined, as Zechariah said, to come through the fire, then the milling process or the grinding process or the refining process is now in full force. The Bible says in the last days that trying times shall come, that men shall be lovers of their own self. Now, who's this? We're talking about Jacob Israel. Two-thirds of Jacob Israel will fall or fall out or be rejected by all of these things that are written in the scriptures. One took a wife. One had to run a business. One had to have to go prove his ox or his automobile would be the case now, and one had to go bury his father. Now, I just left my dead uncle, my mother's only brother, still. I just left the wake where he was lying in state, and I left that wake early just to get back to my broadcast because I know that the dead know nothing. And let the dead bury the dead, come and do my work. And so then it is the dedication and the honor and the integrity of all of Jacob Israel and how they conduct themselves one toward another in proving themselves righteous, not by their own works, but by the works of love, which covers a multitude of sin. If you don't have love, you don't have any covering ability, and when the time comes, you will fall, because they can't bend to the seasons of time will break in the process. And so two-thirds of Jacob Israel will be destroyed because of excuses, excuse me. Yes, two-thirds of Jacob Israel will be destroyed because they will not keep the covenant commandment. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. The kings of Norway, the kings of Great Britain, the kings that are listed in scriptures in Denmark, if you will, and all of the, in Sweden, and all of these kingdom providence where kings have actually ruled out of the house of Jeremiah in Scotland and in Ireland. Now, why did not the United States ever prefer a king? It's simply because we are out of the house of Joseph, and we do not desire a king to rule over us. However, we have failed victim because we had a government, elected a leader, and now the government is telling us, the children of Israel, what to do. And their agenda is completely different than the agenda of the saints or the kings or the men and women of Yahweh. Now, the Bible says to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. So then, can we function under a totalitarian government? Of course we can. Our ancestors proved in Babylon and in the Assyrian captivity that we could prosper. Daniel prospered in the Babylonian kingdom that so many people fear today. Ladies and gentlemen, there must be a time of trouble to come upon Jacob Israel, and yet Yahweh said that he would deliver Israel out of these troubles. I will establish my covenant between you and between your seed. Now here he says that only one third, I want you to think about the importance. If you are an Israelite tonight, if you're listening to Pastor Buddy, and you are a true blue, and you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are an Israelite, I want you to think, and think hard, what would excuse you from being in the two-thirds majority that will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I feel good, I look good, I think good, I walk good, and things of this nature. That won't get you home. You must have a spirit willing. The Bible said, blessed is the poor in spirit. It don't mean that you are a pauper or that you are broke from week to week. That's not what that means. The poor in spirit are those that are hungry always for more leadership of the spirit. Hungering and thirsting after the spirit, for by my spirit saith Yahweh. Not by power. Yahweh does not need a mighty army to raise up to bring in the kingdom. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I'm waiting for us all to get guns, look at Charlie Pluckett and the Kentucky State Militia and things of this nature. Folks, let me tell you something. You making pipe bombs and you doing all these ignorant, foolish things trying to think that you're going to overthrow some government, be it foreign or domestic, and defend yourself and you are in the minority, that's not going to happen. That's wishful thinking on your part. It will get you hurt, get you killed, get you imprisoned. Why? Because many of the two-thirds are in that category that will fail to recognize that his kingdom does not come with observation according to Luke 17:20. And not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, as a good preacher brother down in the western part of Tennessee was reminding me the other night as we were talking, he said, Pastor Buddy, I'm made to believe that the kingdom of heaven was set up on the day of Pentecost, and most people have missed the kingdom is here with us. Man, I thought that was excellent in spiritual discernment for not many men and not many women out of Jacob Israel, including Jacob Israel, have the knowledge that the kingdom was set up on the day of Pentecost. Had it been a kingdom that has been hid under the nose of man, most Israelites don't even recognize it, don't even know how to enter in and find the peace and the joy unspeakable and full of glory, and how that the serpent has wreaked havoc in the house of Israel with the two-thirds that will perish as they go in the gainsaying of Kor, or they take up some other parable or some other work or some other cause to gain notoriety and glory in the seasons of times when they shall be glorified. Now, if you prefer to go on national radio and you are, quote-unquote, you become the expert and you stick your head out, then you put your head in the noose and then the noose will tighten on you and it's not a pleasant feeling when they come after you. Bad boy, bad boy, bad boy. Now, how do you escape? Not by sword, not by might, but my spirit saith Yahweh. Yahweh took Gideon and 300 men and defeated an army of over 30,000. Now, let's say that the enemy can field 1 million men in America in the last days if we are threatening and Satan is threatening to overpower or to bring down the kingdom of Yahweh, don't you believe that Yahweh could take one man and tie one hand behind his back, and that one man alone could defeat with the power and the spoken word and the might, he could call far down from heaven, he could actually stop the rain, he could stop the agricultural produce, he could bring hell out of the sky, and will, at the proper time, that will weigh 100 pounds upon the enemy, and you're wondering where your next gun is coming from. Not by power, and not by might, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh. Now, how did he say to be wise is what? A serpent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are gun running, and if you are gathering arms to overthrow the government, you are, of all men, most ignorant and stupid. You need to sit down and read your Bible and discern between the times of now and the times of then. At the proper time, Yahweh's kingdom will overcome. Now, Daniel looked into the days of Christ. Christ set up a kingdom. He said, in that day shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And here it is, a continuance, as Daniel saw it, with the seed of Abraham. Now notice here, verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed. This continuing covenant shall be refined down to less than one-third acceptable. Remember, not by power. We're looking for some world leader to come on the scene that will gather an army together and we'll go shooting and firing into the night and being Johnny Rambo. We've watched too many of these Jewish-inspired movies when we ought to know that on our knees we are taller than trees and that the spoken word is mightier with the pen than the sword. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, there's going to come a time of bloodshed. Ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you that we have had bloodshed and wars and rumors of wars, but the Bible said the end is not yet. And you need to refrain yourself from thinking in a military mind, think in a spiritual mind, and get you some life and peace and establish or to reinvent, if you will, the covenant into your heart. Take away the stony heart. The stony heart is full of hate. The stony heart wants to go around killing and cutting off heads. And I have warned people before, when you get into war, you might want to talk the talk, but when you see your brothers and your sisters slain and their guts laying and blown to bits, and it's sickening and the stench of death is so bad that you can't get your breath, then you may have second thoughts of having the thought process of trying to win the kingdom through war. Now, this has been a spiritual war from the word go, and I am going to tell you, if we don't wake up to the real problem here in America and other allied nations abroad, we shall be overcome by the enemy, not by guns, and not by butter, but by genetics. And this week we're going to discuss in detail exactly what that will be. I will establish an everlasting covenant. Verse 7, mark it in your Bible, the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. This will be our foundational base for this week's message on how the snake got into the house of Israel. I will make it with you and their generation for an everlasting covenant. You want to be in the one-third? Well, then get out the two-third mentality of the flesh, and let's get in the spirit. Pastor Buddy, I'll be back, and we'll take names, and we will kick the butt of the enemy, praise Yahweh, with the spirit of Yahweh. Thank you. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're beginning a series that is going to be so informative to your spirit. If you've never heard Pastor Buddy teach on these Revelation scriptures that we're going to get into this week, you need to stay tuned. Don't miss one very exciting message as we're going into the depth and the breadth and the height of the scriptures that will give you the identity of the snake and how he got into the house of Israel. Tonight we're going to establish the covenant. And once the covenant is established, then the war, and we're talking about the spiritual war. Remember what the Messiah said when they were threatening him? When they were intimidating him? When that they were poking fun at this little helpless man that stood there and took the abuse, the cursing, the smiting? They plucked out his beard. Very interesting that he had one. Praise Yahweh. And his hair. And they lashed his back with 39 stripes. Isn't it very interesting what he said? I could call 12 legions of angels and deliver me. Now, he didn't say that he would call 12 of the good old boys, the Rambos. He talked about the ones, the guardians, the ones that are mighty, the ones that we have historical record to go back into. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how they do it. I don't know by what power. But it amazes me that one angel can kill, literally destroy, an army of 185,000. One angel of Yahweh can come and kill 185,000 in one night himself. It's just a one night outing to destroy an army. In Afghanistan, we've got an army of less than 10,000 men, and we're wreaking havoc. Think about if we had 185,000 men in the field, or any army for that matter, that could field 185,000. This would be an awesome army that was advancing anywhere in the earth. However, only one, and the Messiah said, I could call 12 legions, a legion, innumerable host that he could call with one able, with the capacity or capabilities of destroying 185,000, and you're looking for some flesh man to give you deliverance? When the Bible teaches you, look not unto man and trust not the arm of flesh, but trust Yahweh who maketh covenant, everlasting covenant, to be with you and to your seed after you. Now, we're going to drop over to the 17th verse, and we're going to read down through 19. After that, Abraham got the promise that he was going to bring forth a child. He was 99 years old. Sarah was 90. And Abraham fell on his face when it was told her that Sarah would be blessed and would give birth, and he would make her a mother of nations, kings, and people shall be of her. No wonder that he had a big chuckle. 90 years old, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now, you've heard of Sarah laughing in a tent. Well, here's old Abraham. He gets a tackle on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Yahweh purposely waited until Abraham was past the flower of his age that he would not go around bragging about his machoism, as many of the Israelites do. They have become macho rather than spiritual. And that's the difference between the one-third and the two-thirds. I run on to these two-thirds majority that are macho, honchos, when they ought to be spiritual and meek as little lambs. Just like the scripture said, a child shall be born of her, that is 100 years old? Shall a child be born of Sarah that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear me a son to be the mother of nations? Well, when Yahweh brought the covenant, he waited purposely, as I have indicated, to prove, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit, he would move upon this man, done well past his age of being able to bring forth children, especially in Sarah, being 90 years of age, past the flower, and yet she bared Isaac, and listen to what it says here. And God said, verse 19, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, proving that Yahweh waited purposely to that he himself would get the glory and not glory in Abraham's flesh, which is actually a type or a, if you will, the Bible said, know ye not that the spirit in us lusteth to envy? Don't you know that the ego of Jacob Israel is so great? Don't you know that the downfall of Jacob Israel is his ego, his flesh? We like to fight, and we like to party, and it's when the Yankees come marching, and we will go, and we will defeat the enemy. We have always been a warring tribe, and we have always been victims of war, and we have been used as cruel instruments of the enemy to go shed our blood, the righteous blood of Jacob Israel, upon the battlefields of the earth for the sake of the enemy and not for the sake of the kingdom. If we spend as much time being spiritual as we have been physical, we would be much farther ahead in our ability to comprehend Yahweh. Not by spirit or by might, but by my spirit, not by the spirit of Satan or the spirit of many, because the Bible said to try the spirit, but by the spirit of Yahweh. I could call 12 legions of angels to deliver me from this death. Can you comprehend 12 legions of angels going against the armies of Caesar or Pharaoh or any other general or any other president or any other king, be it now, be it back then, or be it future at the height of any military might upon the earth to withstand the spoken word of Yahweh and his prophets? He's always took the few and defeated the many. When Joshua went in, he was a general that the generals of the earth have studied his tactics in warfare. How did Joshua get his information? He got it via the Spirit. Abraham here fell on his face and worshiped Yahweh. Verse 3 of 17, you need to take a lesson. You need to spend more time on your face instead of having egg on your face. Pride goes before a fall. And when you get lifted up and haughty and high-minded, and you begin to know it all, and the Bible said, he that thinketh he knoweth something, let him be as though he knowed nothing, that he may know something. And in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. I learned that lesson many days, many, many moons ago, when I was a young, egotistical Christian, I guess you would call me, starting out on my progressive path and journey, and I have learned it is not to the swift and it is not to the strong, it is to those that humble themselves before Yahweh. Remember, the Bible says that the eunuch was sitting in the chariot reading but having no understanding. And then the Bible says the Spirit bade Philip to go up and sit with him in the chariot. Philip obeyed the Spirit. It is not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit. And he said, I'll give the Spirit to them that obey me. And two-thirds of Jacob Israel is walking contrary to the commandments and the humbleness of Yahweh. Remember, the Bible spoke of the Pharisee that came out, and he looked up into the heavens, and a big thundering, booming voice, he smote his chest and looked up and he said, God, I thank you that I am not like this poor, miserable scumbag over here to my right. This little publican, which the word publican means just an outright sinner, and you little outright sinner publican, embarrassed by the bragging and the boasting of the Pharisee as he thundered his voice, I thank you I'm not like him. I pray twice to three times a day. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes and I'm a good boy and I obey all your commandments. Therefore, God, I have deserved your salvation. I am worthy, God, of your power. Now pour it out upon me. And the Bible says that the publican, so filled with shame and remorse and repentance, would not even as much as lift his face toward the Creator that made him and just simply said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, when that parable was expounded, he said, I want to ask you, which one do you believe that was more justified before God? The one that did all these great things, that went around bragging about what all he'd done, or the one that had done nothing and yet humbly came and submitted to the great power and grace of Yahweh? For it is by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself. If you get there, and it'll be one third that does, you'll get there by the skin of your teeth, but you will never get there by proclaiming what you are compared to who somebody is. Boast not, lest you be tried. Here it is. Isaac had the establishment of the covenant and the commandment. Isaac got a promise in Isaac, not in Abraham, ladies and gentlemen. It was Abraham's flesh man. They said, yet in his seed shall the covenant be honored. So then, it's not in you, the flesh man, it is in the spirit that dwelleth in you. Howbeit, if the spirit of Yahweh dwelleth not in you, then you're none of his. I don't care how much you boast. I don't care how blue your eyes is. I don't care how tall you stand. I don't care how fair your complexion is. You'll never make it to the kingdom unless you're born again of the water and the spirit and have an intercessory fellowship with the Spirit. And the quickest way to get there is humble yourself. Don't trust in the arm of flesh, for vain is they that trust in the arm of flesh. There's going to begin to be a host of men and women raised up in the earth that will lead many to their slaughter. As champions will begin to raise up and to do exploits against the kingdoms that are established, and they shall be hunted down and killed like common criminals. Now what about the man that was in the mount that was hid from the companies of army that came in search of him? When Elisha was hid there in the mount, the servant trembling in fear and said, Master, we perish because the enemy has compassed us round about. The old prophet lifted his eyes up into heaven and graciously said, Father, this servant does not understand. Father, this servant seeks an army, and not by power or by might shall he be delivered. Father, this servant can't see what I see. Father, this servant don't know what I know. Father, open this servant's eyes, and we've got two-thirds of Jacob Israel blinded that will never see the reality of the spirit path because of their flesh man or their flesh eyes are always about the business of the flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy, and I'm warning you that if you follow the arm of flesh, you shall be destroyed with the arm of all flesh. If you will seek the Spirit, and if you will follow after the Spirit, and if you will take no thought for your life, you say, well, that's an act of bravery. No, that's an act of humility. The Bible says when they come for him, he didn't resist. When Peter pulled his sword, he told him to put it up. He made a very important statement. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight? Now, I pray tell you, when has that command changed? Well, he said to go out and buy a sword. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what he is talking about, you're listening to the sword of the Spirit tonight, and it should cut and penetrate into your thick mind, your fleshly mind, and pierce the veil of your carnality and get you in a very humble position and bring you down from your haughty, lofty estate where you dwell above everyone else, looking down upon them as was the Pharisee. The Bible says the Pharisee trusts in his own righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to trust in the arm of flesh and how righteous you are to overcome or throw down some kingdom or this, you be assured that at the time appointed, Yahweh will bring down Babylon. You say, yes, Pastor Buddy, he'll do it with a great army, glory to God, and they'll raise up and they'll fight like hell. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever had your eyes opened? Have you never seen the might? I mean, we were in awe in the 50s and the 60s when Russia paraded her goose-stepping soldiers down the Red Square centers of the wide streets of Russia with their goose-steppers and their jack-booted thugs and their army, and yet when they went into Afghanistan, a few bearded, gown-wearing brethren up there that had fasted and prayed, the seed of Abraham, kicked their butt. You say, yeah, but buddy, they're up against the United States Army now, and we're bad to the bone. We've got those, Russia was bad to the bone. And 10 years wore down Russia and sent them fleeing home. And here we have, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is going to repeat itself. We are not out of Afghanistan by a long shot, and we won't be digging any pipelines there soon to pump the oil reserves as we had a thought in our heart, simply because the house of Abraham Isaac, these are the sons of Isaac, and the real sword will be in their house. The sword of the Spirit will be in Isaac, and the sword of Ishmael will be in the hands of his offspring. So here we are, Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I'm just about out of time tonight, as I wanted to establish tonight the covenant principles. If you're going to get into the covenant, you're going to have to understand that two-thirds, many strive, many will strive to enter in and not be able. Are you over in the two-thirds of Jacob Israel? Are your eyes blue? Is your hair blonde? Are you Aryan to the bone? Do you trust in your genetic preference? When Yahweh does not look upon the outward appearance, he looks in upon the heart of man, and he judges him not out of the flesh realm of his hardiness and his power, but he chose David, the little sheep herder. All of the sons of Jesse were mighty. And David was the eighth son. He was over taking care of the sheep. He was just a sheep herder. He was the smallest man in the family in stature. Even the great prophet Samuel, when he went down the line to try to bring the Spirit into bear, to tell him which son that Jesse had there to be anointed, because he saw so many handsome sons that would he thought make valiant warriors to restore the kingdom of heaven, and he wasn't. That valiant arm of flesh was not there, and Samuel did not find the arm of flesh. Yahweh said there is a man in the sheep pens that will, I'll choose him. my servant David, a man after my own heart. You say, well, yeah, Pastor Buddy, David was a mighty warrior. That was when the house of Israel was to defeat her enemies. When she was fleshly and when she was seeking the kingdom through the law. Now we seek it through the eternal promise of the covenant principles, and here we are in the last days able to really get into the comprehension of how to possess the kingdom. But there's going to have to be a new day and a new vision. We're going to have to come into men of wisdom rather than men of flesh. Blessed are you, Simon, Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, and flesh and blood will not bring in the kingdom, for flesh and blood shall not possess the kingdom. This kingdom is eternally, it is entirely different from the flesh thinking carnal mind of man as he goes stumbling down through the scriptures trying to lay hold on eternal life. The Bible said many will strive to enter in but not be able. And this are the two-thirds of Jacob Israel that shall miss or be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Well, here I am, Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. If you'd like to contact me tonight, I would be willing to take your call. I'm available after the show. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. That is area code 423-626-2172. If you're a first-time listener, give me a call tonight and tell Pastor Buddy that you heard the message tonight on the Shepherd's Call. Now, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy a letter, thank those that wrote me last week. I got three or four new letters from people that I'd never heard from. And it does a body good to hear that those brothers and sisters that are putting their ear to the truth, to see us bring the truth without compromise. And we're going to preach the gospel and be instant in season and out. We're going to preach for the benefit of not your flesh, man. We're going to bring everything we can contrary to your flesh, man, until we crucify him, until we kill him, and we hang him up for the fowls of heaven to peck out his brains. That Yahweh can put in a new heart and a new mind and write the laws not in his flesh covenant, but in the spiritual heart of the covenant where he can get some comprehension and understanding. He can quit running around like a big bany rooster crowing how great he is, how Jacob Israel and the two-thirds majority that are so fleshy and so carnal have put on the garment of flesh after having started so good in the spirit. Paul said, have ye now become carnal? And I believe it. Praise Yahweh. Well, Pastor Buddy, you can write at Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, that's 2284. Pastor Buddy, Post Office 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Tell us that you're listening and you're there. It would do a body good, especially the faith of Pastor Buddy here tonight. Sometimes we feel like that we are in this battle sometimes all by ourselves. And if it wasn't for good friendly voices that would call in from time to time to reassure us that they're standing with us and standing by us and standing for the kingdom, praise Yahweh and the principles of Scripture as true believers will. It encourages us to hear from you. You call us tonight, and if you can, send us a love offering to help us on the ministry and the expenses that we have to bear. We have tapes. We have postage. We ship by priority mail, everything we mail out, 90% is priority, so you help us out. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 Eastern Standard Time. Until then, keep yourself unspotted from the flesh, Jacob Israel.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.